Well, good morning, Oasis family. It is still morning, and I'm going to try and let it still be morning when I finish.
Maybe you have more time than just...
We'll see. So, yes, it is a real privilege to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Asher, and I'm one of the leaders here at Oasis. And the area that I do most of my leading is in our children's and families ministry. I just can't get enough. And I want to start this morning by telling you about one of our Sunday school sessions from a couple of weeks back. If you'll bear with me. So we were talking about spiritual gifts. We taught the children about a number of spiritual gifts, what they were and where they came from. And we did this really cool activity called a spiritual gifts survey. Just bear with me. The children worked through about 60 statements, and then they had to rank each of the statements about how applicable they were to themselves. Zero being, this is never me, and three being, oh my word, this is me. And then once they'd done all 60 statements, they had to take their scores and put them into a special matrix called, get this, the spiritual gifts scorecard. I know. Which essentially then highlighted to each of the children where their main giftings may lie. Now let me tell you, it was incredible. What a privilege. First of all, every child was hooked, which doesn't happen very often. So that was an absolute bonus. But we had children whose scorecard suggested that their main gifts were serving others, exercising faith, showing mercy, leadership. This is our children, the Oasis children. How exciting is that? It was incredible. However, when working with children, there is always room for improvement. And in this instance, we hadn't actually planned on talking to the children that week about unity and diversity in the body of Christ. So I'm making reference here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27, which I'm not going to read. But for context, okay, from verse 12, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. And if we fast forward a little bit, in verse 17 it continues, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And you can just picture the scene, can't you? Well, if your gift is giving, then you can give me the last chocolate biscuit. Actually, my gift isn't serving others, so I won't be helping with the tidying up. Or, well, since your gift is exercising faith, I think you should be the one to stand at the end and pray. You'll be glad to know that we did cover the body of Christ. We got there the following week, and we used a really cool illustration, which I'm hoping we're going to be able to show you, he says. Look at this. Beautiful. Now, I think that this is a brilliant illustration. When you look at each of the parts on the right, many parts, and when you see them on the body on the left, it just makes sense, doesn't it? It really takes that those verses and just makes it nice and visual. No? Well, it did for the children, anyway. And as you can see, the illustration has a title, which is that the church is a community. Now, the thing with me is I love community, probably more than I should, but I do. I think it's a really interesting subject to study, to talk about, and even more interesting to be a part of. And what makes community even more fascinating is the fact that it is designed by and modelled to us by God from the very beginning. So in Genesis 1:26, when God says, let us make man in our own image, we learn three things about God. First of all, we learn that God is an us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a community of three. Secondly, we learn that God wants us, that's you and me, to be a part of that community. We're invited in, just like Adam. And thirdly, we learn that because God makes us in his own image, we know that he makes us with the capacity to replicate community. And so, ta-da, we are in community. It's in our DNA. We're a part of this community, the Oasis Christian Centre. And actually, some of us might even be a part of smaller communities within the community. Perhaps if you serve in a particular ministry or you're part of a particular life group, there'll be smaller pockets within the wider family. But you'll likely be part of communities outside of Oasis as well. Your family, your friendship groups, your workplace, your neighbourhood. They're all different communities that we're a part of. But, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes community can feel like it's more hassle than it's worth. When working or living with others, it doesn't always go very smoothly, does it? So, today I would like us to look at a portion of text that God has placed on my heart. And this is some scripture that teaches us about living in community with one another here in the Oasis family. But actually, I think it will give us some skills that we can take with us out that door to the communities that we're a part of beyond this building. So, we're not going to do much jumping around. So, if you've got your Bibles or your YouVersion, feel free to fact check me on this, although I know we're going to put it on the screen. So, we're going to be in Philippians 2. And we're starting at verse 1. And this is Paul writing. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. So, I'm just going to stop there and say that this is for those of us who are first united with Christ. AKA, this is for Christians. He is our source of how we're going to be able to do these things, to pour out self, to love unconditionally, to be able to be taken advantage of in certain situations and not feel like it's remarkably unfair. The way that we are going to be able to do these things is because we are sourced, because God gives us the power to do those things. So the scripture starts like this. Paul says, first of all, you have to be united with Christ. If you're not a follower of Jesus, then none of this is going to make sense to you. You're not going to have the spirit that the New Testament talks about to be able to do these things. And this is the spirit that Timothy talks about. Not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. The spirit that lives inside of us as Christians is what gives us the power to do these things. So verse 1, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, in any tenderness and compassion, if you live like Jesus, if you want to live like Jesus, if you are found in Christ, then verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So he says, if you're not a part of the Jesus family, then you'll have different family values. You will talk about different family things and you will have different family expectations. But if you are in Christ, we are of one family. And our Father has set the standards and the expectations of what it means to be a part of his family. So what do we do? Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, and this word is important because it does not mean self-deprivation. Oh, woe is me, I'm worthless, I'm so rubbish. No, humility, as C.S. Lewis puts it, is to have the right view of self, which means not too lowly, but not too highly. It means a right view of self. So, rather, in a right view of self, value others above yourselves. And once we are able to see ourselves appropriately, which is that we are sinners, destined for hell, saved by Christ's work on the cross, then we would realise that our value is found solely in Christ. Every breath that I take, every thought that I have, every pound that I earn, every relationship that I possess is all a gift from God. So if it all belongs to God, then I shouldn't really have an inflated view of myself. Rather, in a proper understanding of self, I am able to view others above myself. Which means that I have the self-confidence and the peace of mind to know that even when I lay myself down and I let someone else have the advantage to take the spotlight, to call Bagsy, that it doesn't mean I'm a lesser person. It just means that I've laid my life down in order to support somebody else. Verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When you're invited to someone's birthday party, normally sing happy birthday, don't you? But you wouldn't blow the candles out on someone else's cake. You wouldn't do that, would you? No, you wouldn't. Because you can recognise that on that day, they go first. They get the best slice of cake. They get the little icing figure off the top, the little Batman or whatever it is. They get to go to the front of the buffet line. And the Bible is telling us that if you're having trouble understanding what humility looks like, then pretend like it's always everyone else's birthday. Let them have the best slice of cake, which if it's rectangular is definitely a corner piece. Let them cut to the front of the buffet line. It's really interesting that we've got a newcomer's lunch today. This is going to put that into practice. But you can see that if everyone at Oasis Christian Centre was doing that with one another, then you can understand that mutual service would always be of the utmost importance. In our house, the night before it's someone's birthday, once everyone's gone to bed, the children at least, what happens is we take out all the presents and the cards and the balloons and the banners, and they all got set up. They get set up in this nice, beautiful display for whoever's birthday it is the following day. It's really weird when it's your own birthday, let me tell you. Now, this obviously isn't something that I can be doing for my family every day of the week, partly because I absolutely loathe balloons. But on those evenings, I know it's no big deal because it's somebody's birthday the following morning. And those days aren't about me. They're not about what I want. They're not about how long my day has been, how much I crave, I just want to go to bed. They're not even about how uncomfortable the balloons make me feel. But on other days, I will absolutely have that internal monologue. You ask me to do something late into the evening, and I'm probably having none of it. I can tell you for a fact that if it's not someone's birthday, I am not blowing up any balloons. Well, I've done bath time 3 nights this week, so I think it's someone else's turn. Or how about, so you want me to walk the dog and give the children a bedtime story? How's that work? But on birthdays, it doesn't matter. Routines are flexed. No one is thinking about whose turn it is to do bath time. And maybe the dog doesn't even need a walk on that day. She does. And Daddy works very hard at his trying to hide his flinching when people are squeaking the balloons. It's a different story if they pop one. But wouldn't it be amazing if I could capture that on an everyday basis? How much better I could serve my family if I just treated every day as though it was someone's birthday. verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Tell me, when Jesus was walking on the earth, did he deserve to be worshipped as God? 100%. Did he deserve to have everyone's attention all the time and to be worshipped constantly without anyone having any preoccupation whatsoever? Absolutely. He should have had his feet washed and his head constantly anointed with oil. His way and his desires always. In fact, he should have been first to eat at the wedding banquet, shouldn't he? But he didn't, and he wasn't. We do see some moments of people submitting to Jesus in humility, like the woman who pours out the fragrant offering on his feet and then wipes it with her hair. Now that is proper worship, but he deserved that all the time. But when we watch Jesus, we actually find him constantly washing others' feet, submitting himself to their wishes, following their desires, healing their illnesses. Now, this is not a call to weakness, but rather this is a call to one of the most amazing characteristics of Jesus, the idea of meekness. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Weakness is, well, I can't do anything. I've got no control here. This isn't me. Whereas meekness is power under control. Now, I'm a dad and I love wrestling with my boys. And I don't know if you've ever wrestled a child before. But unless you're some kind of weird human being, you don't wrestle a child the same way that you would wrestle an adult. You let them get you in an arm lock. You trip over your own feet. You might even fake being concussed. It's not that you don't have the power to completely destroy them in the wrestling ring, which is basically all the cushions off the sofa. It's that in those moments, your power is best used to be leveraged to connect with your children. And when we use our strength, our voice, and our power, we don't do so for our own advantage. But rather, we can push on our gifts and abilities to move other people towards Jesus. And we're called to take every bit of power that we have and to leverage that for the gospel of Jesus. Verse 6, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Now, Jesus' humility did not flow out of weakness, but rather his humility flowed from his strength. As someone who practices humility is not the same as someone who has no capabilities. Humility is our strengths under control, as opposed to our weaknesses unchecked. By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this is telling us that Jesus took every bit of power, persuasion, voice, ability, action, attitude, and he leveraged it to walk so far and so low that he was obedient to a traitor's death. Verse 9, therefore, or because of that emptying of self, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then Paul simply says, just do that. Just do that. Now, I can't speak for you, but actually, I don't have the capability of doing all of that, which is perfect, because that is what the gospel is about. The gospel is that as Christians, we should read that and be able to recognize that we can't do those things, not without the Spirit in our life. How can we, in response to these things, act like and have the same attitude as that of Jesus? Well, firstly, we need to empty ourselves like Jesus emptied himself. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean that we let people walk all over us. Don't confuse kindness with weakness. That's not what this means. But it does mean that we're going to find ourselves in situations where we're going to be taken advantage of. It means that we're going to find ourselves in situations where we're having to leave the service to go and cover Sunday school, even though it's not our turn on the rota. And actually, it also sometimes means that when that happens, it's never going to even itself back out. In some situations, it could mean that even though we have agreed with someone that they will have certain responsibilities, we can find ourselves where, actually, those responsibilities become ours. And instead of us going, I am being taken advantage of, we can look at Jesus and say, well, actually, if there's one thing that Jesus had more than anything, it's that he was taken advantage of all the time. Christian community isn't an equality of effort, nor is it an economy of fairness. It's a laying down of that equality, a laying down of saying who gets what, and saying, I know there will be times in my marriage, in my parenting, and even in my church when I am going to be taken advantage of. But if I'm going to be taken advantage of to serve and to leverage my strengths to benefit others, well, that is one of the characteristics that we see of Jesus all the time. To understand that we're going to be taken advantage of means that there are going to be times in our serving with unfairness. It means that we're going to outserve others, that we're going to do more work or give up more time or more energy. And we are never going to seek the day when the scales are made right. Because actually, Jesus has offset the scales for the rest of our lives. Which means that, actually, Jesus, he is the one that we are attempting to outserve. Not one another, not our pastor, but we are trying to outserve our Saviour, which is a pretty tall task. But actually, that is the task that the scriptures call us to with the support of the Spirit. And in this life that we're called to, we are going to get taken advantage of. There's going to be times when we don't get what we deserve, but we're going to have to see our lives as a lever to move people closer to Jesus. And my hope for the Oasis family is that we would wake up every day, as best we can, with a view that that day is everyone else's birthday. If you think about the concessions that we make when it is someone else's birthday, when we let someone else have the advantage, we let them get the extra slice of cake or whatever it might be. When we can live like that, I really think that is what community is all about. A humbling of self to say, I have strength, I have power, I have persuasion. I can be first, I can be strongest, but I will instead leverage all of those things so that the lives of those around me is made easier, made simpler, made more joyful. And then we will model what it is to follow Jesus, because Jesus did it first. We know what the expectation is. We can look at Jesus's example. You're going to be taken advantage of. You're going to miss out on bagsies. You're going to outserve others. And it will never become fair, for as long as we equate fairness with what other people around us have done. But instead, let's measure ourselves up against what Jesus has done. And once you've begun to outserve him, to out-leverage him, to outgive him, to out-humble him, you are still going to be way off. Yes, Jesus sets the bar incredibly high, but he does tell us that he equips us with the tools of the Spirit so that we can become more like the disciples that he's built us to be. So, happy birthday. Be encouraged. Bless you.